রয়েছে তুমি আমাদের মনে ভক্তি বিধান
Stop also because his affection was divided into Ram and Kaikeyi. He couldn't hurt Kaikeyi, but he couldn't stand the pain what Ram has to go through. So Kaikeyi wrote this, and eventually this news was told to Mother Sita Balarama, and Lakshman heard it. And Lakshman became very furious. And it's a beautiful dialogue between Lord Ram and Lakshman. Interesting concept. Lakshman preaches atheism to Lord Ram. He talks about Purushartha. He said, by our own endeavor we can overcome all difficulties. Lord Ram talks about destiny. He said, my dear Lakshman, do not blame the father. Because Lakshman blames Dasharatha Maharaj. And that this old man is after this Kaikeyi, lusty after her. And because it has become like that, therefore he has taken this decision. And then he says that by power, he says this shoulders, they are not meant for decoration. They are meant to perform some tasks. So today I will send Kaikeyi and Dasharatha Maharaj to Yamaloka. He says like that. And then he says, how Purushartha means what we hear. And your endeavor can give you success. You have to make up your destiny. So Lakshman preaches pages after pages. And Ram says, no, you cannot blame Dasharatha Maharaj, you cannot blame Kaikeyi. It is all happened because of my destiny. They are not responsible. There is a higher arrangement for this. Now who is right? The last beginning Lakshman is wrong. According to Shastra, according to Bhagavad Gita, for every endeavor there are five causes. And the most important cause is the destiny. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter. And if one does not see this cause, is the less intelligent person. The cause of destiny. And the very person who is supposed to be the original Guru Lakshman, he is speaking something which is not according to Shastra. But he is speaking here of Purushartha not because he does not believe in the concept of destiny, because he believes in service. The Supreme Personality. So in rendering service to the Supreme Lord, one cannot say, oh, it's destiny, what can I do? Like one lady, one Mataji, when she was serving Charanamrita to Prabhupada, she had placed salt in it. That Charanamrita. Prabhupada said, what is this? Who has put salt in this? She said, Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada said, this is not Krishna's mercy, this is your foolishness. So she was speaking the philosophy, everything happens, Prabhupada himself said, that nothing happens without the sanction of the Lord. Even the knee cannot fall. But you cannot use that philosophy when you make a mistake. So Lakshmi first one had to render service to Lord Rama. So therefore, in rendering service to Rama, the devotee cannot say, it's my destiny, what can I do? It's your destiny, what can be done? I am helpless in this regard. Then that becomes a, even though it's a philosophy, another philosophy, but that leads to atheistic concept. On the other hand, Lakshman is speaking atheistic philosophy, but it enhances devotional service. Therefore, another concept is that, like sometimes we use this concept, that Marich, the demon, the great demon, who had experienced Lord Rama, the power of Lord Rama, twice, and he came to this conclusion that I should not play around with Lord Rama. He is very powerful. And then Ravan came to convince that I need to kidnap Mother Sita. Actually, Marich was able to convince Ravan. He sent him back. He said, get out from here. Actually, convince him first. He said, you are a fool. Some weak enemy of yours has told you that you should play around with Lord Rama. He said, it's very powerful. And he explained his own story. And Ravan was convinced, he goes back to Lanka. But again, Shurpanakha, you know, she was there as an instrument to destroy Ravan. She sends him back, forcefully convincing him that you have to kidnap Sita. So this time Ravan comes, and there is an argument between Marich and Ravan. And Ravan said, look, when you speak to the king, you should not speak in a way which is displeasing to the king. I am not come here to take advice from you. I have already taken decision what to do. You have to just follow whatever I say. If you don't follow what I say, then I will kill you. You are so fearful of Ram. Instead of Ram killing you, I will kill you. The Marich said, okay, that's bad. Better I die in the hands of Ram than die in the hands of Ravan. He made a mistake there. But because that he chose to serve Ravan than to serve Lord Ram. His unwillingness to cooperate with Ravan would have given him glory of serving Lord Ram. But he misunderstood. Oh, better to die in the hands of Ram, but for serving Ravan. Therefore, in the devotional concept, it is not so important that you want to go back to God. Lord Chaitanya taught us the principle of Nathanam Janma Sundarim Kavitam Jagadish Kamai Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavata Bhakti Rahim. That our bhakti, our devotional service, should be causing no inconvenience to the Lord and His devotees. If that does so, and even if that allows us to go back to God and the devotee does not want to do it, from a general point of view, it was a great decision on part of Marich. Better I die in the hands of Ravan than die in the hands of Ravan. But from a convenience point of view, the acharyas explain that Marich caused so much of inconvenience to Ravan because he had not taken the spiritual master. He had no mediation. The Lord's devotees were not there. Even after the time of death, okay, you are serving Ravan. But when the time came and Ram shot an arrow and Marich was collapsing down, he remembered, oh, I have to do. What is it? Ravan has told me, call out the names of Sita and Lakshman. Why? By calling the names of Sita and Lakshman, Sita would be very much concerned about Ram and should send Lakshman to Ram. And in this way, Ravan could get a very clear plan which Ravan orchestrated and Marich followed. So how can a devotee of the Lord think, okay, after all he died in the hands of Ram, that's glorious. From a service point of view, it's inglorious. Even though that may take to the spiritual world. Bhakti, as Rupa Goswami explains, has to be completely favorable. So devotee's attitude also has to be favorable. And what is the proof that Lakshman actually believed in the philosophy of destiny, even though he was preaching against it? When it came upon himself, in the end of the Ramayana, banishment particular concept in Ramayana. Sita was banished, even Lakshmana was banished. When the Lord was supposed to wind up his pastime, the Kala Purusha came. And the Kala Purusha said, "My dear Lord, I need to talk to you privately. And nobody should be allowed." The Kala Purusha was about to talk to Lord Ram, and Lord Ram said, "Okay, Lakshman, do that. And if anyone interferes in our discussion, they will be punished." Yes, it is. So then Lakshman was guarding, and unfortunately, the Rukmini approached. And they were discussing, he said, "I want to meet Lord Ram." And Lakshman said, "You cannot meet." Lord Ram is discussing with Kala Purusha. So he said, he's discussing with Kala Purusha. He said, I don't care. I need to meet him. If you don't allow me to meet, I will destroy the entire area. I'll kill everybody. So Lakshman thought, which is the better choice? It is not that Dhruvasmuni can do like that, because he's dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The culture is that the sages are greater than the Kshatriyas. So Lord was acting as a human being. So naturally Lord Lakshman would not interfere into the mood of Lord Ram, respecting the great sage. So Lakshman was thinking, better to die myself rather than causing so much of hate to the Ayodhya Vasis. So he interferes, he himself goes to give the news to Lord Ram that the Dhruvasmuni has come and they are about to conclude the talk, but still according to the law the interference was done and Ram was crying. And Lakshman was insisting, "This is my destiny." So when it came upon himself, he did not talk about Purushartha to change. He talked about destiny. He said, "You punish me. You have to punish me. It has come upon me and you have to punish me." And the Lord, for Lord Ram, Lakshman was more than his life. So he said, "I can't." But Lakshman said, "You have to." Again we see, here Lord Ram is saying, "No, I cannot." He is not willing to accept it as Lakshman's destiny. Lakshman is saying it is my destiny. The whole philosophy changes. And then eventually Lord Ram executes the order because he was the ideal king. He says that I banish you. Banishing Lakshman from Ayodhya was the end for Lakshman and for Ram also. So Lakshman is banished from Ayodhya and Lakshman concludes his pastime. He merges into the Sarai river and that's a lot of points of the pastime. So similarly here we see Bali Maharaj, his consciousness is so amazing that he, when Lord Vamandev came to the arena, it is just like, you know, when the sannyasis come to Singapore, devotees can't offer presences. But they want to. Like in London also, when Maharaj has come, that you cause unnecessary, you know, shock waves amongst the people. What are they doing? Like Maharaj's father, when some devotees go home, Maharaj tells them, "Don't offer obeisances to him, thinking that he's my father. Shake his hand like an American style, because he gets shocked." Because when his father came to India, they sent him a video of what their son does. So his father and his relatives say, "Why they kiss the floor?" They're kissing the floor. What is this? Naturally, a devotee's activity should not cause shock amongst people. So therefore, we don't offer obeisances. But the desire is there to offer obeisances. So similarly, when Bali Maharaj saw Vamandev coming, but what was it? It was the kingdom of demons. And the nature of demons is that when the superior person comes, they know it is a superior person, but they become more straight. No, they don't bend down, they don't go down. So that was all the demons. So Bali Maharaj realized, "This is Vamandev. I need to offer obeisances, but I am surrounded by these demons. I cannot." So Bali Maharaj is giving credit to all who have received, not for his sacrifice. He is not saying, those brother, my Lord, just see what I've done for you in the Upanishad verses. There's a reminder by the devotees to the Lord. Remember my sacrifice. The Lord says this is not a very good prayer. You don't need to remember, remind the Lord that I've done so much. So Bali Maharaj is not reminding the Lord. Bali Maharaj is remembering what he could not do when Lord Vamadev came and what he wanted to do. He wanted to offer obeisance, but he could not. And here Prabhupada writes his brilliant book, that Bhava Grahi Janardhan. What does Krishna see? Krishna sees the heart. And because Krishna sees the heart, and seeing the heart of Bali Maharaj, this is how Bali Maharaj is thinking. What Brahmaji is thinking, when Brahmaji came as a mediator, this concept of mediation is very interesting. On behalf of the devotee or on behalf of the Lord. Like when Sita was getting married to Lord Ram, it is explained that she was about 12 or 14 year old. And Ram was tall, Kshatriya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the garland, they were supposed to exchange the garland, Sita was not able to reach. She couldn't put the garland to Lord Ram. So, a Kshatriya king cannot bend down. No, it's against the culture of a Kshatriya that he cannot bow down. It will be insult for a Kshatriya. At the same time, you know, unless he bends down, Sita cannot place the garland. It was a very different predicament. This is explained by one poet in South India, Kamba Ramayana. So then she is trying to offer a garland to Lord Ram, but she is not able to. It's a very tricky situation. Imagine right in the assembly of all big people. Sita is not able to place the garland. She cannot bring a school and climb and put the garland. So then what happened? By saying this, Lakshmana, he comes there. He comes and he offers obeisance to Lord Ram. When he offers his obeisance to Lord Ram, but Ram has to bend down to pick him up. And Sita plays the garland. So therefore, Lord is always too high for us to catch, to understand. You know, it's difficult. We cannot drag him down to our level. He has to come on his own. When the Lord comes down, Indrajit Maharaj explains when he met one very famous sports person when he was a young child. He talks in his diary. He was a lanky, tall guy. So then he said, but you are such a nice person. He met him on the street. He said, I have to raise my head. But rather than doing that, that sports person came down. He sat down to become on the level of Indrajit Maharaj's height. And they were interacting. He remembered that, wow, here is the personality. It's a big personality, famous personality. He's coming down to my level. So similarly, Ram came down to Sita's level because of the Lord Lakshman. And she could place the garland. Spiritual master. Similarly, Brahmaji comes and he reminds the Lord, he said, my dear Lord, just what Bali Maharaj has done to you. Sometimes the Lord takes great pleasure in giving pain to his devotees. That's his sport. And when he gives that pain to a devotee, and devotee is taking it, he is taking that pain. Like Bali Maharaj said, my dear Lord, I have never seen the parents punishing their son in such a way the way you are punished. But because it is coming from you, I consider this to be exalted. Because it is coming from the Supreme Lord, therefore it has to be exalted. Bali Maharaj says this. So Brahmaji comes down and says, my dear Lord, what is your nature and what are you doing here? Your nature is that you are highly impressed. You are highly obliged to a devotee when he offers you what? Not even a fully blown flower. Not even a proper flower. A flower bud which is not fully grown or blown forward. And even little water. you are satisfied. Even if someone says, I want to offer my life to you are satisfied. That is your nature, that is your swabhava. Your swabhava is to be pleased by most insignificant thing. But here is this Bali Mahārāja, what he has done, he has offered everything. He has offered his mind, he has offered his heart, he has offered all of his possessions. So what do you expect more from this Bali Mahārāja? Is it fair on your part? Brahmāji is reminding the Lord. Just see, what is your nature? You are pleased by very small thing. Like in Ramayana, a very beautiful point, where Sugriva was arguing with Lord Rama. Vibhishan came there for Saranagati, surrender. And Sugriva said, my dear Lord, he is unacceptable. Why? Because after all, he is the brother of a demon. How can you trust him? He is the brother of Ravana. So if he has abandoned his brother, what guarantees that he will not abandon you? He may have come here to harm you. Therefore, we cannot accept him. He is arguing with Lord Rama. And then Lord Ram says to Sugriva, he said, my dear Sugriva, not every brother is brother like Lakshmana or Bharata. Not every friend is like a friend like you. And he said, now you are talking about Vibhishan's quality of being a brother of Ravana. He said, this defect, this bad quality of Vibhishan will never go away. Sometimes your expectation will be pre-Krishna consciousness. This person will change from this level to this level. There is expectation. And when that does not happen, a preacher becomes angry. When there is expectation about a conditioned soul, he will see the change immediately. Then there is aggression in the preaching. There is a violence in the world. But here, Lord Rama, it is explained that Hanumanji was such a great soul. He said, no, there is no dosh in the Vibhishan, therefore you should accept. That is one way to look. Ram said, no, Hanumanji, there is a dosh. But this dosh cannot go away, therefore I will still accept. That is higher level. To assume that there is no dosh, therefore accept. But to understand there is a fault, this fault will stay for the rest of his life of being a brother of Ravana. But what is the nature of great soul? The great soul's nature is that he accepts people with good quality and bad quality. Ram can do it. He said, therefore I accept Vibhishan as my devotee. And what to speak of Vibhishan? Yadi Ravanova, even Ravan comes here, I will give my shelter. This is the nature of the Supreme Personality of God. So therefore Brahma is desperate to plead on behalf of Lord. On behalf of Bali Mahārāja. And immediately Vamana spoke a few words and then he offered something which was never received by anybody to Bali Mahārāja. And therefore Bali Mahārāja is speaking these words with tears in his eyes. My dear Lord, he is not thinking, just see how much great sacrifice I did. Offering everything to Vamana. What is he considering? He is considering actually what an offer of business to Lord Vishnu. But I was not able to offer obeisance to Lord Vishnu. Because the Shastras explain, when you remind the Lord about how much you have done, the credit of doing that service is nullified. In the Mahabharata, when Yayati was asked by the demigods, because he performed so much of pious activities, that the extent of his piety was unimaginable, limitless. The demigods, they asked him, can you explain what is the limit of your pious activity? And he had started speaking about his pious activity. And because he spoke about his pious activity, they said that by simply speaking about his own good activities, all the collection, the credit of good activities got destroyed. And he fell down from the heavenly planets. So therefore here Bali Mahārāja is following that culture also. He is talking about his shortcomings, his difficulties of offering obeisances, but a desire to offer obeisances. Therefore Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Sahasrara Sindhu, holy name, in regards to his dham, in regards to his devotees. There is no difference between the intention and the action. There is no difference. If you do actions without intention, still it will be accepted by the Lord. When we chant Hare Krishna, there is simply an imitation. It's an empty bullet. The sound is there, but the substance is not there. In Bali Maharaj's case, the substance was there, the action was not there. But either way, Krishna appreciates. Therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. The substance is not there, but the action is there. Just like a child imitates the father. The father will be a doctor. The child will wear the apron and stethoscope and try doing everything, and the father is pleased with that. Even though, what can a child do? Whom can he treat? They can't treat anybody. But that innocent action made by the child is appreciated by the Supreme Personality. But the added endeavor by the devotee, if he is doing the action of devotional service, he is endeavoring to put the intention. And the intention is there, the action is not there. He is working hard to turn that into action. So in this way, even when a devotee practices his devotional service, whatever he is, because Krishna's power, the Lord's nature, is to accommodate. To not expect anything from us. And if somebody does something, what was he expecting from Putana? He was only expecting poison from Putana. What was he expecting from Putana? He was only expecting, you know, anger, jealous, envy from Putana. But her action was simply, she made an action of feeding Krishna her breast milk. There was no intention. There was no consciousness of serving Krishna. There was a clear consciousness of killing Krishna. But Krishna did not look into that. Therefore he closed his eyes. He closed his eyes and said, I don't want to see the bad part of your life. I want to see the good part. What is it you want to offer me? You want to offer me milk. Therefore in Kali Yuga, you know, it's easier to find faults. Kalaya Dosha Nidhirat. And somebody can write a thesis on all the defects of devotees. He will get it. But where will he go? He will not go. He will go nowhere. But if we can follow the footsteps of the Lord and his devotees, then can I see a good quality while expecting no change and offer some service to them? As the Lord did to Bali Maharaj, and did to Supreme Vishal, and also Supreme one good quality. People with good qualities are extremely rare, especially in Kali Yuga. But people with great qualities of compassion, that was the quality of Prabhupada. They came to America, this land of thought, from a Vedic perspective, from a material perspective, they were different. From a Vedic perspective, it's a land of unlimited thoughts. But rather than seeing that, he saw facility, okay, they have sinful tendencies, ignorant, I need to engage them in Krishna service. And that quality of the Lord and his devotee is only our own. Otherwise we are we have no good intentions, neither we have good actions. When you are combinedly, you know, fallen in regards to action and intention, what is the hope? One limitation is the hope. Hypocrisy is the hope. And hypocrisy is also, it is done in connection to Krishna. Immediate chanting Hare Krishna, immediate worshipping the deities, immediate reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the rest is taken care of by the Supreme Personality of God. That is the lesson we learn from every story of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every story that the last heartedness of the Lord is the greatest. Therefore, how can somebody raise this question? That the Lord is cruel, God is cruel, is not kind, is limitlessly kind. From the Bhagavad's therefore, Bhagavad Gita is considered like a Kanta Samhita. Kanta Samhita means a Prabhu Samhita. Prabhu Samhita means order. Laws are there, love is not there. But here, just like a lover is begging to his beloved, you are not seeing any fault and willing to offer every facility for his beloved. Similarly, Krishna does to conditioned souls, especially in this Japan. So we understand this concept, read Srimad Bhagavatam and focus on the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then bhakti becomes very powerful. Bhakti becomes life-giving, becomes very nourishing. Even in our most negative situation, we get to see, oh, this is the nature of the road. So therefore, the road never closes. The road is wide open. We have to simply keep driving. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yeah. So discussing with the Lord's nature, what does he see? He knows from action point of view we have faults, from intention point of view we have faults. However much we try, depending upon our surrounding, the living in this consciousness changes according to your surrounding. And what is the surrounding of the living? Whether you are in India or in Singapore. That when we say favorable, situation should be like black and white. Even in India or wherever we are, it is not at all favorable to practice devotional service. But the Prabhupada said, by practicing bhakti in material world, a very difficult proposition. Because the nature of material world is envy, and the nature of spiritual world is not envy. So how can you develop non-envy quality in the material world? How can it be selfless? Of selfishness. How can you be large hearted in the land of small mindedness? It is extremely difficult. So therefore, the process what is offered by the Supreme Lord and His devotee is extremely liberal. It's 100% discount scheme. So therefore, when we act imitation, imitate devotees offering. At least we have to begin from there, knowing very well that I am imitating. Only challenge for a conditioned soul who is practicing devotional service, that we ignore about his imitation, about his action. That is very serious. Then he is not different from hardcore material. A realistic person, he does not feel that he is doing anything wrong. Somebody yesterday saw people were not around us. They were eating meat, they were drinking wine. For them, maybe 99% of them don't feel that actually they are making any mistake. If they feel they are making mistake, they can't enjoy what they are, you know, delving into their body. They will not enjoy. Somebody, if he has to enjoy material life, he has to be free from guilt. Like someone who comes from a good family, when he tries to drink, there is so much of guilt. Oh, I should not be drinking. My parents never gave me this. nature is not like this. So what does he do to enjoy it? Who cares? He must have not done it. Then he has to rebel the culture of what his parents have given. Then he starts again. Then he becomes more and more ignorant. So the problem is not that we did it. The problem is not that we have faulty action. The problem is not being conscious of imitation and wrong action. If you are aware, that is also a sign of progress in spiritual life. The permissions for the living entity, a practicing devotee, should be consciously aware that I am a hypocrite. My imitation, my actions are not correct. And but still, he is doing the action of practicing devotional service, acting as a nice devotee, acting as a very desperate devotee. But because it's aware that I am not a desperate devotee and I am trying to be a desperate devotee, it's a beneficial. Being honest, okay, I am not a desperate devotee, so why should I be desperate? Why should I act desperately? That means your honesty is not making you take a further step. What is the use of that honesty? That honesty does not help. Some people say, no, unless my heart moves, why should I chant Hare Krishna? I am very honest about my heart. What attachment does it make? But somebody is not honest. He is chanting Hare Krishna, but knows that I am not honest. He will make me. We are talking about that kind of imitation, which is very interesting. We discussed that Purusharth philosophy is not our philosophy, but if it is helping me to serve Lord Ram, then we will talk about it. Similarly, we imitate, we have no love for the deities, but still, the incense are, the hand is moving, the lamp is moving. So what is better to say? Now, let me be honest, I am doing it, but I am a dead body. For me, it's a dead statue. So why should I? If you are given the choice of being honest and not doing arti, or being dishonest, they rather choose doing arti, even though there is no feeling, there is no heart. That itself is means having a heart. Again, Krishna sees that. This kind of imitation is beneficial. Being aware of that, this is my consciousness. I am an imitation and I am not having a good action. And this is the underlying principle of all the poems of Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Ramachandra Swami. Not a jiva nishtha dhamma. Somebody said, Ati Vedanta is knowing, like Guru knew. He says in the, Dharma Samhita, he said, I know, Janami, from, I know you, Krishna. I also know who am I. He said, Aham Yantra, from Devanti. Yatha Nyum Susi Tata Karo. He said, I know you are the Lord. I know you are the Lord. I know you are the operator. I am the machine. The way the operator operates the machine functions. So what can I do? Sounds high philosophy, but it justifies his nonsensical activity. He is blaming Krishna for his wrong ways. This is not the philosophy. For what? For misusing it. Therefore, one can use the philosophy of Vedanta for justifying. Like someone in Bombay was killing people. They said, I am not a doer. Actually, yes, he is not a doer. Ultimately, the Lord is the doer. But his philosophy is dangerous. It's the philosophy of the theistic people. This we have to understand very clearly. Our only fear, the danger for a devotee, is to forget his shortcomings. We know we will continue to be imitationists, and we will continue to know that our actions are not very good. There is no, it will never change suddenly overnight. It will continue to happen to the best of our life. It's a gift of the Lord to give good intention and good actions. Whenever it comes, let it come. As long as it is not there, let us imitate in connection to Krishna. है।